Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast.
Good evening. Hey, everybody can hear me. This is only the second time I've used this mic, so sorry. So I've actually got a couple different scriptures, and we're going to be jumping around tonight, so if you can't keep track, I didn't actually prepare a slide for it, so I'm sorry. But if you just bear with that and not get too annoyed. But I'm going to read the first main section of scripture here, and then I'm going to pray for us. And it comes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and this is verses 10 through 15. Verse 10. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Let me pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for the opportunity to come up here and to be your vessel to all these different people. God, I pray that you'd open their hearts right now, that you'd open my mouth right now, and let it be your vessel, Jesus. And if you guys could take a moment and pray for yourselves, just for a moment, if you'd like to, and ask God to open up your heart to him tonight. And if you would, pray for me and ask God that I would be his vessel and that my words not come out but his. God, we love you. We trust you. Do with this time what you will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, this is one of my favorite passages of scripture because it talks about what's going to happen at the end of time. And, it talks about kind of present day, but it talks about how that affects the end of our lives, how it affects whenever we get to heaven, what's going to happen, and how we're going to be judged. And so in our modern, you know, American day culture, when we say judged, we always think of, you know, like God's wrath. Like we think, oh, we're going to be punished. But no. For Christians, for those who have this foundation in Christ that Paul is talking about here, it's not judgment as in we're going to be cursed. It's judgment as we're going to be blessed. And so it's completely different. It's like an Olympic ceremony almost. So it's like at the end of time, this ceremony is going to happen to where we're going to be blessed and as believers in Christ. And so Paul's talking here to the first Corinthians, and most of those are Gentiles, they're not Jews. And so, but he's telling them that the first step is obviously the foundation in Jesus. And so once you have that, the things that you do in life matter. And so all our actions can equate to gold, silver, or precious jewels, wood, stubble, or hay. And I always say hay. I think my version said straw, but whatever. Same thing. So Paul's sitting here, and he's saying that all of our actions, you know, they build up, and they accumulate on this altar of our lives, basically. And I kind of wish I had a good example, but I don't. But, you know, you can picture an altar. You can picture, you know, a foundation of a building or just a big wooden or big stone slab. And putting these different things on top of it. And so, basically, I want to talk to you guys about, you know, what is gold, silver, and precious jewels, and what is the difference between that and wood, stubble, and hay? And then, ultimately like why that matters at the end of our lives. And so whenever I was digging into this, you know, and whenever Eddie and I had talked about me wanting to preach, I had some other different message that I was thinking of. And then all of a sudden this came to my mind and I was like, no, this is perfect. And so when I was thinking about it last week and I was like, you know, how can I dig more into this? What can I find? What is gold, silver, and hay? Or gold, silver, and precious stones, and wood, stubble, and hay? Like, what are those actions in our lives that we use to build upon this altar? And but what I thought was, hey, I just read through the Gospel of Matthew, or was reading through it. And it reminded me of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. And so I wanted to read Matthew chapter 5, just the first couple of verses that summarizes the whole Sermon on the Mount. And this is what I thought was so cool when I was reading through it, because most people don't know. Whenever Jesus is talking about, it's called the Beatitudes here. You know, that's like a summary of the entire Sermon on the Mount. And so I'm going to read those for us, and it starts in verse 2, and it'll go through verse 10. So Jesus said, "And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And so the reason I wanted to summarize it is because I can't read the whole Sermon on the Mount. But one thing I was thinking of, you know, how do you build upon this altar of your life? How do you, you know, how do I get gold, silver, precious stones for the end of my life? And I was thinking, you know, I've struggled with lust in my life. That's been one of my biggest struggles, you know, from the time I was, you know, 11 to, you know, now. It's ongoing. It's still a battle every single day. But because of the scripture that Jesus provides here, because of the guidance he provides in this section, and because of other passages in the Bible, it has taught me how to combat Satan's temptation towards me. And so for lust, you know, he says here, "Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God." And so not only whenever you follow God in this life are you going to receive a reward in the afterlife, you kind of receive a reward now. And Jesus, you know, he goes in the Sermon on the Mount here, and he's talking about, you know, don't even look upon a woman with lustful intentions in your heart. And he says that, and then he says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, because it's better for your right hand to be gone than for your whole body to be tossed into hell. And so that's what I had to do, you know. So whenever I had my laptop in my room or whatever, I'd be liable to be tempted and liable to lust. And so I had to start leaving my laptop in my car overnight, or leaving it in here in certain times of the day when I was alone. And so I literally just cut that off completely. And so that's just an example in my life where I thought that God was showing me how to build upon my altar in my life with gold, how to build on that foundation with Christ with gold. And so not only am I going to get that reward when I get to heaven, he's also blessing me now, because Jesus says here, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And so there's never been a greater time in my life than this past year where I've started to do and put into action these types of things to where I can now see God way more clearly. And so when lust is in your way, and when almost any sin is your way, but particularly lust in this instance, like it's cloudy, it's very cloudy. And I've talked to Kelsey about that before. It's just like, oh, it feels really cloudy if I don't see God right now. And so, but whenever I'm out of that, like I see a good picture of God. And so it's really amazing that's one thing, I guess, in my life that I can build gold with. But for you guys, it can be something different. And so I just think whenever you start diving into scripture, you find what Jesus is saying, you know. And it goes back to sin originally. It goes back to how we're so closed off from God. We're so selfish. And so that's the meaning. Like, that's basically what sin is. It's turning inwards toward yourself. It's saying, I don't want to love that person because, you know, I don't like them. Or you're saying, even though God treats so-and-so better or loves so-and-so, you know, I don't want to love that person because I don't like them. Or they did this to me, I'm not going to forgive them. Well, God thinks it treats everybody equally, loves everybody the same. tremendously. He loves us all tremendously. And so the way ultimately that we build with gold, silver, and hay, or gold, silver, and precious stones, the way we do that is we start to be selfless. And so that turns back to our whole life in Christ, is that that's what Christ did. He came and he was selfless for us. And so in order to have that foundation in Christ first, like, you have to know and believe in Christ who was selfless and went and died on the cross for our sins. And so I just thought it was so amazing thinking through all this and how, you know, we were talking about foundations. We're talking about building up and how the Sermon on the Mount fit this perfectly because, one, he teaches us how to build here at the beginning, but at the end, what is Christ in the Sermon on the Mount saying? It's chapter 7, verse 24. He says, "Everyone that hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the whole wind blew down and beat on the house. But it did not fall because it was founded on the rock." And see, that's Jesus. Like, we find ourselves on this rock of salvation, on this rock of Christ. And then we can go and do all these good things. We can be selfless. We don't have to be selfish because of what Christ has done for us. And then it says here, he keeps going, he says, "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell and great was the fall of it." And so it's like Christ is even telling us here, he's like, the more selfish you are, the more sinful you are, the more destructive you become. The more destructive your life is going to become. And that's what we see here back in 1 Corinthians, because even for Christians, you know, Paul is talking to Christians here, and he's not talking about being unsaved, because he's talking about fire and judgment. And so transitioning into the second part of the scripture, you know, we talked about building with wood, stubble, and hay, and building that on the foundation of Christ. But now you've got to understand that he is talking about a fire that's going to refine that process. And he's talking to believers here, because he's talking about testing. He's talking about what God's going to do through this fire. So basically, what Paul says is that there's going to be an altar. And on that altar, we've put all these actions in our lives. You know, the unselfishness, the selfishness, it's all going to be built up in there. So the precious stones, gold and silver, are the selflessness. The wood, stubble, hay, selfishness. And so you build on this, and so at the end of your life, God is going to come, and he's going to light the fire on top of it, and it's going to melt down, and it's going to destroy everything that is wood, stubble, or hay on it. And so, but what happens when fire goes on top of gold, silver, or precious stones? It refines it. It makes it more beautiful. And so not only are your actions and your selflessness here going to impact you currently, they're going to give you more precious stones then. And so, but Paul is talking here too. He says, "The fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire." And so that's the key here for Christians, is that he's saying, don't be a Christian who has your foundation in Christ and go and be selfish. You don't need to be selfish anymore because you have the love of Christ. Don't go and lust all the time. Don't go and just sin out of the wazoo because you're forgiven. Like, that's not what Christ's grace is about. That's not what the grace of God is about. It's about living in the full life that he wants to give you. And so he's saying here that at the end of your life, all this wood, stubble, and hay, it's going to burn away and be nothing. And so you don't want to be just left with your foundation. He's saying that that's going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt anybody. And he's saying you're going to have tears. You're going to have loss here. And so this goes back to Eddie and I. This is where I learned this passage was from Eddie. And he talked about earlier how we go for coffee, we hang out, we talk. And this is something he taught me, like, right whenever we first started meeting. And here in Revelations, God says he's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. And so Eddie told me, he said, "What do you think those tears are?" And he said, I've got a theory. He said, I bet it's all that selfishness in your life, all those missed opportunities you had. God's going to take that away, and he's going to make all things new. He's going to make everything better, and he's going to make it all good again like it was supposed to be. But I don't know about you. Like, I want to not have as many tears. Like, I want to build with this gold, silver, and precious stones because that's what Christ calls us to do. And this is kind of speculation here. But I've always wondered, you know, what happens with those gold, silver, and precious stones that we have at the end of our lives? Like, what happens once they get refined? You know, what do we do with them? Do we just have these jewels sitting in our houses in heaven with us? I don't think so. I don't think that's what happens. Because in chapter 19 of Revelation, verse 9, it says, and the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so the angel tells him here, you are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so I think everybody in here knows I'm getting married this summer to Kelsey. And so I'm really excited. But I'm super excited about marrying Kelsey. But I'm also very excited because I don't have much wealth here on this earth. And so I'm very excited about the gifts I get. I am. I'm very excited. But if you don't bring a gift to the wedding, everybody's invited. But if you don't bring one, I'm not going to be mad. It's okay. I still love you. But with saying that, we're all going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then we're going to go to the marriage of the Lamb. And what do you bring to a wedding? You bring gifts. And so I just wanted to present to you guys, I think that that's what happens. I think that God refines this unselfishness in our lives. He gives it to us as jewels, and then we get to take that and give it to Jesus. And so I think that that's what God wants us to do. I know that's what God wants us to do. And so with that, that's all I had to say. I don't know if you got anything out of it, but thank you for letting me teach you this. I was super excited.
Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30. But if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.